That song says so much. Do you ever stop and think about what a mess you would be in if it had not been for that old rugged cross? If it had not been for that little bitty baby that was born to the Virgin Mary, that died on that cross, we would be in a pickle. God has blessed us more than we could ever begin to tell. My sermon today is from the book of Colossians, chapter 3, beginning with verse 12. That's on page 190 in my Bible. If I could put a title on my sermon today, I guess I would have to call it A New Suit of Clothes. Did anybody get any new clothes for Christmas? All right. Some people got some new clothes for Christmas. So you got some new clothes. Well, I'm going to preach about your new clothes today, but it's not exactly what you're going to be expecting. My scripture begins with verse 12, Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other. Just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Above all, clothe yourself with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, to which indeed you are called in the one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom and with gratitude in your heart, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. The Apostle Paul began his letter to the Colossians in much the same way that he did all of his letters to the different churches. He gave them a prayer. He prayed for them. And he told them how thankful he was for them. And he thanked God for them. And he assured them that he was concerned about everything that was happening. And he gave them the proverbial pat on the back and let them know that, I'm proud of you. You're a good old boy. He made them feel comfortable and loved. But the purpose of Paul's letters was to correct and refute false doctrine. Christianity must include practical living while applying the principles of faith in Christ. I've seen people all my life that they would come to church on Sunday morning and it was church. They leave church, they go home, they go to their jobs, and it's like they're split personalities, because they come to church on Sunday morning, they're one thing, and they face the world the next week, and they're a totally different character. But these people, the Colossians were facing battles that there were people coming in and said, okay, it's okay for you to do this. You did this back before you became a Christian. And it's okay. There's really nothing wrong with what you're doing. So they were being torn between what Paul was teaching them, what they had been taught. They had been instructed how to live a separate life, but they were not paying any attention to what they had been taught because they were still under the influence of what was happening previously. They were saying, well, it's okay to do that. We did it before. But it's not okay to do the things that you've done. Paul is telling the people in the Colossians that you became dead to sin. You have now put on eternal life. You've got to change your habits. You've got to do things different because you're not that same man you used to be. You're not that same woman you used to be. There's been a change. There's been a change in us. We cannot get out there and do and say the things that we used to do and say because there's been a change in our hearts. Amen. The story is told of a woman that a man pulled up to a traffic light and he stopped because the light had turned yellow right in front of him. And he did the right thing. He stopped at the crosswalk. But even though he could have beaten that yellow light and got through the intersection, he did the right thing. He stopped. But this woman driving behind him was tailgating. And she had to slam on brakes to keep from hitting him. Her cell phone went one way. Her makeup went the other way. And she's just ranting and raving and cursing and making obscene gestures. And this poor old man, all of a sudden, there's a tap on her car window. And she turns around to look right dead in the face of a policeman. And he asks her, he says, are you okay? She says, yeah, I'm okay. He says, step out of the car. She steps out of the car. He handcuffs her, puts her in the patrol car, and takes her down to the police station. Puts her in a cell. A couple hours later, he goes back in and he turns her loose and he says, I'm sorry, ma'am, for any misunderstanding, but here's your personal effects. He says, I'm very sorry for this mistake, but you see, I pulled up behind your car while you were blowing your horn, making lewd gestures at the guy in front of you and cursing up a blue streak at this poor man. And I noticed the What Would Jesus Do sticker that was on the back of your car. I noticed the Choose Life sticker on your license plate. And I noticed the Follow Me to Sunday School sign on your bumper. And I noticed the chrome-plated Christian fish emblem on the trunk of your car. So naturally, I thought you had stolen the car. And I wonder sometimes, if somebody would stop us, would they think we had stolen that car? The Christian believer is indeed risen with Christ and must now live in newness of life. We cannot act, we cannot react the way that we did before we accepted Christ. Amen. The ranting woman in the car probably was a Christian, but she apparently had not done as our scripture today recommends and clothed herself with compassion. She had not clothed herself with kindness and humility and meekness and patience, especially the patience. I mean, she came up really short when it come to patience. These qualities that Paul recommended that we clothe ourselves with are positive qualities of Christian living. Through this entire section, the apostle has written in terms of putting off and putting on clothes. That suggests that this is something that we ought to do every morning. When you get up in the morning, don't you put on clothes? I hope so, before you go out of the house or you go to work. We have to clothe ourselves. And some of us, when we get up in the morning, can leap out of bed, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, and hit the road, and we're good to go for the rest of the day. And then there's other of us, like me. I used to be that get-up-and-go person. But now I lay there and I say, am I awake yet? Have I just went to sleep, or am I just waking up, or what's going on here? What's happening? And there's people like Daniel that has to have that first cup of coffee before he could get motivated and get it in gear. Sometimes a second cup of coffee. We have to get our land legs. We have to prepare ourselves. We have to get dressed. It's been reported that Albert Einstein once said, "The problem with the speed of light is that it comes too early in the morning." And I feel that way a lot of mornings. I think Daniel has messed with that clock again. It cannot be that late. It's still dark outside. I don't want to get up. I don't want to have to get dressed. I don't want to have to, I just don't want a period. I don't want to have to do anything but get another 5 minutes sleep. But no matter what time you get started, Paul's admonition is that you clothe yourself. When you get up, deliberately put on the qualities of life that he's talking about here. The reason, of course, is because that you can put them on. This is the argument throughout Paul's entire letter. You are a new man. You are a new woman in Christ. Therefore, you can begin to live with these qualities. So do it. If you can do it, do it. That's what the Apostle Paul said. He said, get her done. In the whole, there are seven different qualities that Paul describes here, and I want to discuss them with you one at a time over the next few weeks. The one that we want to discuss this morning briefly is compassion. Do you know that we serve a compassionate Savior? Amen. In the book of John, chapter 8, the scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman to Jesus that had been caught in the act of adultery. And the law was at that point in time that if a person was caught in adultery, they were to be stoned. So they were trying to trap Jesus and get him to do or say something so that they could arrest him. This was a fault-finding bunch of folks. So here they're saying, Jesus, what do we do with her? She was caught in the very act of adultery. Jesus, he goes over and he stoops down in the sand and he begins to write. And I've often wondered what he was writing in the sand. I've heard different people speculate about what they thought that he was writing, but who cares? Our Lord was writing in the sand. And he sat there and he began to write. And these people are still arguing, Jesus, what do we do with her? And Jesus stands up and he says, he that is without sin, let him cast the first stone. Then we see Jesus as he stoops back down and he begins to write again. And he's slowly writing in the sand. And these scribes and Pharisees got to thinking real quick about what Jesus had said. Let the person that is without sin cast the first stone. And I can see them now. This scribe says, that ain't me. This Pharisee says, it sure ain't me either. And they slowly begin to leave because they know that they have sin in their life. They know that they've done things that might not warrant being stoned, but they know they've done things that was not pleasing in the sight of God, that were sinful. And we see Jesus as he looks up at this woman. Where are your accusers? Where are those people that were wanting to stone you? And she says, I don't know. They're not here. They had gone. Because they knew that their lives was less than perfect. Jesus says, neither do I condemn you. But he added another part to that statement. He says, neither do I condemn you. But he says, go and sin no more. Go and sin no more. He didn't say, okay, you're forgiven. You can go now. But he's telling this woman, you got all of this new clothes. Put them on. Put on the compassion. Jesus was showing this woman compassion. He was showing her love. He was showing her tender mercy. Do you know that God expects no less out of us? He expects us to show compassion and love and mercy. The word compassion meant the bowels of sympathy. The ancients believed that compassion originated in the bowels. We don't think that way, although we get kind of close to it a lot of times when we say, I have a gut feeling. That's been in the general neighborhood. Compassion is what we would call a heart of pity when you have compassion for someone. It's a sense of sympathy. It's a sense of empathy with or for someone. When you come to the breakfast table in the morning after you've got your clothes on, after you've clothed yourself, you need to come with compassion. You need to have compassion for that strange-looking creature that's standing in there with her hair up in rollers. You need to come with compassion for that gruff, stubble-faced fellow that's isolated over there behind the morning newspaper. You need to have compassion. Approach life with compassion when you get up in the morning. You are a new man. You are a new woman. Paul's saying, now live that way. You have become a new creation. Act like it. Be compassionate. Be loving. Jesus looked beyond our past and our failures, and he encourages us to be what we can be. Jesus doesn't care about your past, the sins that you've committed, because he says, just ask me and I will forgive it. I will wash it white as snow. You will become a new creation in me. Jesus looked beyond our faults and he saw our need for a Savior. And he's telling us, go now, leave your life of sin, go and sin no more. Paul says the antidote to sin is to do everything that you do in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and to thank him in every word and deed. Our praise and our thanksgiving serve as a barometer for spiritual health. We have to put on part of our spiritual clothing, compassion. We're not all dressed up and nowhere to go. When we put on these virtues that Paul is talking about, we are to go and spread that light that I've been talking about for weeks. The light of the love of Jesus Christ. We're to get dressed up and go tell others about the love of God. The process that allows us to go into all the world and spread the light of God's love is called grace. God's grace. God's love. And the only way that we can do this is if we have that change of heart that I've been talking about. If we have that heart of compassion and love. You know, this would make a great New Year's resolution as we are approaching New Year's in a few days, that we would pray that God would help us to be compassionate, to be loving, to have all of these virtues that the Apostle Paul has talked about. We need to put on the clothes of compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, forbearance. The great thing about walking with God in a new life is that there's always an opportunity to start anew. God always offers us a new day and a new dawn. No matter what has gone before at the start of the year, why not take a moment and thank Him for last year? You know, we take so much for granted. And asking for forgiveness in the areas where we failed. And dedicate this new year that's approaching to God. That God would help us be the best that we can be. To serve Him and to love Him afresh. Amen.